Welcome to TBF, a Browns fans podcast. Another phenomenal performance by the Cleveland Browns defense. Number one overall in the NFL. Heck, number three overall yards allowed since the merger. Since 1972, only two teams have done it better. I think it's the 70 Colts and the 72 Vikings. Yes,
oh, really?
This team right now, statistically, yards allowed is better than the 85 Bears, better than the 2000 Ravens.
Wow.
It's TBF, a Browns fans podcast, where we sit down and talk about the Browns half the time and normally maybe a little pissed off, but not this week. Oh, we could have been had that gone the other way at the end. There'd have been plenty to complain about, but why complain when you're rocking the number one overall defense in the league?
When you have a W.
Well, everything's better with a W on it, right?
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, man. Get up in the morning, get your coffee, put a W on it. It's better.
Yeah.
Yeah, so let's talk about this. Cleveland Browns victorious over the San Francisco 49ers. Amazing stuff. So how many of you really thought going into the game that we were going to win that game? Come on, be honest. You can talk about it now.
I did not think we were going to win, and I thought if we did, it would be only by 3 points.
Well, you were wrong. That was more than we won by.
Right.
That was more than we won by.
I heard something said on ESPN 850 radio, and I agreed with it. Fourth down, Kevin didn't go for it. He punted and relied on the defense. And I thought that was a good idea because we would have gave him the short field if we didn't make it. It was only fourth and one, I guess, but I don't know. What do you think?
At that point, we had the lead. Am I correct?
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
Well, then why would you go for it? What did you need to go for it for?
That's what I, and the time was short too. That's what I thought. I mean, it's always a crapshoot on, you know, fourth down when you go for it. But I guess we went for it on fourth and four at one point. Is that right?
Yeah, that was the pass to David. It was a hill. Oh, come on. Our receiver.
Oh, you mean the one that, the one that got
David Bell.
Oh, David Bell. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that was it.
Oh, yeah, that's the one that got us the first down because he was
clocked. Yeah, there you go. That was it. Yeah.
Okay, now I remember.
It was actually 6 yards, too, just so you know.
Fourth and six, and we went for it.
Yeah.
Holy shit. You know, and that was like luck. I mean, really, we could have punted.
Now, couple observations. Oh, wait. More than a couple observations. First, let's loud the defense once again. I'm going to give you some statistics and what this defense has done for the Browns. As soon as I pull it up, because I'm, as usual, as prepared as ever.
That's right. You were a Cub Scout or Boy Scout or whatever. I mean,
team statistics for 2023. Opponents, the Browns have only allowed 52 first downs. Okay. I don't know the exact figure, but the next best defense, okay, the number two defense in allowing first downs has nearly double that figure, around 100. To give you a comparison, the Browns have gotten 95 first downs, allowed opponents 52.
That's crazy. Dude, our defense is really good this year. And you got to believe it has.
And think about this. Only seven of those, I mean, seven of those are by penalty. Okay, so the amount that teams have actually earned for themselves is 45. Okay. Third down conversions. The Browns are allowing opponents a clip of 15 of 65. Two of three on fourth down. They could do better on that. Total defensive, total offensive yards allowed, 1,002.
Makes you wonder why Joe Woods couldn't do this.
Average yards per game, the Browns are giving up only 262. Total rushing yards on the season, guys, 395.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I think an even bigger point to point out as well in that last game, had four sacks, and none of them were by the defensive line. So the defensive line was that they attempted to take them out of the game, but they couldn't. They were getting in there all the time, but they were taking sacks. They're eating sacks up by the other players on the defense.
Oh, yeah.
So
right.
There's a really good film out there. I believe it was from NFL Live, where Dan Orlovsky is basically kind of breaking down the Browns and how they're basically pushing the line of scrimmage back 2.5 yards once the ball is hiked. Okay.
I mean, we're witnessing kind of sort of what we were talking about. We hope we had last year when we had the draft picks, we had Miles and we had what's his name on the other end? I know what's his name? Clowney on the other end. Mm-hmm. We had Clowney on the other end. We were expecting to get that push. We didn't. This year we are getting it. And you're seeing what it does, even if the defensive line doesn't get the sack. It now, creates so much pressure that the next guy comes in and gets it.
I'm not even saying we want him, okay? But I do know that there's a guy out there that he waits. This is what he does now at this stage of his career. He waits until he eyeballs the team that he wants to be on. If this Browns defense continues to look historic, they could well use just a little more push in there. Okay, to spell somebody, Dalvin Tomlinson needs a breather. Why not bring in Ndamukong Suh? Okay, who has not signed with the team yet, but will before it's over. Okay.
No doubt. How's his head? He's good. I mean, mentally, all that.
Ndamukong Suh?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know him.
So, I mean, I'm just saying he's not going to be a disruption.
No, he's. And Ndamukong Suh signs with the team and they go to the fucking Super Bowl. He was on the Eagles last year. Okay. Before that, he was on the Buccaneers. Okay. Okay.
That's
Ndamukong Suh, by the way, spent his rookie years being head coached by who?
What, Bill?
Jim Schwartz.
Oh, no shit. I hope he's staying in shape.
Ndamukong Suh doesn't need to be in the kind of shape you're thinking about. Listen, he's saving himself for the last quarter of the season. Okay. The man is smart. He's not getting beat up. He's going to give you that push. He's going to sign with somebody. Somebody's going to pick up Sue. He's going to sign with a contender. Okay. The Browns need to keep winning. 3-2 doesn't make you a contender. It does put you on the winning side of things. This team so far this year.
No, this was like what we talked about last week. This was the statement win.
This team so far this year has not been under 500. Okay.
Right.
That's it. I mean, they were 1-0. They were 1-1. They were 2-1. They were 2-2. They're now 3-2. We can't play every other week in the division we're in and make, here's the other thing. If the season were to end today, three teams from the North are in the playoffs in the AFC.
Yep, and we're one of them.
And right. That's what we were talking about. You're talking about that as well. That, and that's why they can't afford to drop a game. That's why this was important. Didn't matter that our starting quarterback wasn't there. We're not in a division where you can just drop games.
And speaking of quarterbacks, hats off to PJ Walker, but we can't have ill-advised passes. If PJ has to start against the Colts, and again, we won't know official status on Deshaun Watson until sometime after tomorrow's practicing.
I almost feel like PJ could be better. Some of those problems he had was purely him trying to make a play when you have to make him understand he just needs to try to make the play he's supposed to. He's protecting the ball. We're not expecting him to be the playmaker.
Here's the thing, though, and here's why the experience of Deshaun would help as opposed to PJ Walker, because the first pick he threw wasn't him trying to do something. That was him not reading the defense. You do not throw the outside fade on cover two.
Right.
Well, and he did.
Okay. You know, not that we want them, but even with the two interceptions, I felt at his first time out, I felt he did admirably. He did pretty well.
You don't want that, but listen, you say you can say that now. Had we lost, PJ Walker's interceptions would be a much bigger issue. Yeah. Okay. I'm just saying.
Well, I mean, the play that almost gave it away was our Jedrick Wills.
Oh, Jedrick Wills downfield.
Yeah, he nearly gave it away.
On the other hand, Jedrick Wills, hats off to him. He played one of the best games he's played in a long time. That was really his only aw shit of the game.
Okay, I get you on that, but it was the second aw shit that happened on a Njoku run, basically, or play, and it was detrimental. Like,
I understand that. But when the touchdown got called back, you knew it was going to be Jedrick Wills on the hold, and it was not.
But it was. They called Treader, and it wasn't Treader. It was Jedrick Wills.
Well, I'm telling you, it was credited to J.C. Treader. Okay.
I know.
And I looked at the replay, and I saw Treader holding. I don't know what Wills was doing. But
that wasn't much of a hold, though. I'll say that.
It was a hold. Wasn't much of a, and was, it doesn't matter. Okay. Listen, the officiating crew in that game established the fact that they were shit. Okay.
I'll just say this. Under the umbrella of that, there's holding on every play by almost every player. It's like, okay, you're gonna give me this on this play. You're gonna call that piece of shit. Come on,
but
man.
But they did, and it was. That's the thing is, you can't dispute it. It was holding. J.C. Treader held on that play. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, plain and simple.
I'm not gonna argue too much about the refs, just because the refs, if you looked at the penalties and yards, the teams were about even, and every time we felt like we were done wrong, then San Francisco got done wrong too.
The problem with the officiating is a much bigger problem. It's a league-wide problem. The officiating is fucking trash this year, guys.
Oh, it's mediocrity at best. Yeah.
No, it's not mediocrity. No, I wish they were mediocre. Mediocre is an improvement to what you've seen for officiating. Every game this season has 3, 4, possibly 5, not bad calls, but game-changing calls.
Game-changing, game-altering.
At least in this one, though, what I'm giving the break of, at least in this one, it was both ways. Both. Trust me, if you're being an objective fan, we got some calls.
Oh, yeah. Come on. That was, say what you want to, but that was not to the head or neck. That defenseless receiver call.
It wasn't, but if you were an official and you were from the angle that the first angle they showed, okay, there's no way that wasn't a head. Yeah, there's no way
the officials don't see that in slow motion like you do. Okay, you know,
right. There's zero way you don't think that's a head from that angle. If I was an official, I'd be like, yeah, he just clobbered the guy's face mask.
I guess you're allowed to hit like that now, but he didn't have to do that. He did not have to. He could have pulled back easily.
No, he didn't. Well, no, he didn't. He definitely could have pulled back, and it wouldn't have cost his team a possible.
Right.
You know.
Well, one thing a statement win like that does for you guys. is affect your position in the power rankings. Now, the truth is, there's so many people doing power rankings now. You kind of need to look at all of them to get an idea of what you're at. Okay. And the Browns, if you take CBS Sports, ESPN, NFL.com, Sporting News, Yahoo Sports, Bleacher Report, and USA Today, and with an amalgamation of those, the Browns are an average of 10.1 in the power rankings. They're at 10.1. Okay. Up 2.6. Oh, wow. Up 2.6. CBS Sports has the Browns at number 10. ESPN has the Browns at 8. NFL.com has the Browns at 10, Sporting News at 11, Yahoo Sports at 9. The Bleacher Report, for some reason, really don't like the Browns because they only got them at 12, and the USA Today at 11.
There is somebody out there, I can't remember the source, has them at 14. I'm like, what?
Well, and nobody's listening to them because they're not any of these, and if it's anybody else, that's like Joe's power rankings or something. Fuck him. Okay, Joe's. Anyway, but here's the problem. Here's the problem, guys. In every power ranking but one, and that's Yahoo Sports, the Ravens are ranked better. Why? Because they actually have some offense.
I was about to say that. They actually have offense.
Now, that could change. Watson can come back. We look good in the game offensively. Keep the defense, and all of a sudden we're going to shoot up there. But I wanted to point something out because I wanted to ask, because we know the defense was good. We know the defense played good. The defense did what it was supposed to do. The offense struggled. What was your offensive player who stood out?
You know, I'll tell you what. I was ready to say, you know, Jerome Ford is trash. And then he ripped off three runs in that last scoring drive.
Yes, he did.
That were like, okay, never mind. Okay, never mind.
Yeah, and one was actually very savvy. He actually pulled one of them, was a very savvy run too. I was like, now where has that been all game? I was like,
right.
He looked like, it was a run where he was like, this is what I do. And I was like, yeah, but
so if I had to give it to anybody, because I don't think any other player was consistently making plays, unless you want to say Amari Cooper, because that sideline catch that Amari Cooper did, the foot placement, everything was wonderful. It was
mine was going to be Amari Cooper, because it's besides the fact that the passing was not on par. You know, there weren't amazing passes going all over the field. He didn't get tons of opportunities to make big plays. He still ended with 100 yards. He had a 58 yard catch, and he had one crazy catch. It's consistent. He's had one crazy catch every game now.
Dude, so in answer to your question, I think we all agree. Amari, baby. Yeah.
Here's one for you guys. Tell me, do you remember this? Here, let me make sure I got this turned up, because I'm putting this to the thing. Okay, here, it's coming. Oh, come on now. Internet, stop acting badly. This is awful announcing. John Hussey's correction of the announcement of the penalty. You remember when they called it on the Browns and it was actually on the 49ers, and they came back. Come on. Oh, you guys.
Who now?
This one. What? You'll remember it. Just stand by.
Oh, I thought you were asking. I'm sorry.
No, I wasn't asking anything.
This flag is. I think Darden has instructions. Hey, no matter what, try and take one to the house today. We could use the points, right?
Absolutely. It's why they activated him off the practice squad. They need a little more juice, as Kevin Stefanski, the head coach, put it.
All right, so let's see what the penalty is. Looks like the Browns are moving back.
Face mask, receiving team, number 20. That penalty will be half the distance to the goal. First down.
When they
see Pierre. Yeah. But I think they called it on the wrong team, Kev. I think the penalty was on San Francisco. I think Ambry Thomas was the one who had the field goal. I think that's what the officials are discussing. Yeah,
they got to talk about this.
They don't have that right.
The crowd obviously saw it and reacted.
But listen to the official when he comes back.
That's right. They're going to get this squared away. They're going to start walking this ball off the other way.
After discussion on the field, the penalty is on the kicking team.
After discussion on the field.
And then he comes back and says, he reopens the mic and says, our apologies.
Our apologies. But yeah, because that was like, wait, we got that one wrong. Because the crowd.
I'm like, what are they doing?
So a lot of people had the question, how in the fuck's sake is there so many 49ers fans in Cleveland Stadium?
Dude, what happened? Oh,
no, it's not what happened. Come on. It's an Ohio thing. Who was the owner of the 49ers for years, and where are they from?
DeBartolo is, how do you pronounce it?
And they're from DeBartolo, and they are from Youngstown.
Yep, Youngstown.
Okay, well, there you go, dude. It was DeBartolo's. It's all them people from Youngstown who don't like the Browns anyway, because most people that live in Youngstown are Steelers fans.
Yeah, it's like the freaking mafia took over the stadium or something.
That was fucked up, man. Because there was as loud and boisterous cheering for the 49ers as there was for the Browns in that stadium.
Right.
Interesting fact here.
Uh-huh.
Relate towards the defense. The leading value of deflections is 9. Most cornerbacks are sitting well below that at 7, 6, and 5. We have two cornerbacks, Emerson and Ward, are sitting at 5 pass deflections.
Wow, that's really good.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, here's one for you guys. This is who's this guy? Corey Kinnan. This is on Browns Wire. First of all, I love the title of his article. I guess he does one for every game. It's called Four Downs. And this one, it's Ode to PJ Walker, the dominance of Jim Schwartz, and sought after ugly Browns win. They did it. The Cleveland Browns have shocked the world, beating the undefeated San Francisco 49ers by a score of 19-17. Starting practice squad quarterback PJ Walker, they mustered up enough points for Jim Schwartz and his unit to do the rest. Ultimately, it came down to a missed field goal from Niners kicker Jake Moody, but the Browns advanced to 3-2 on the season nonetheless and made our entire Browns Wire staff look dumb in the process. I guess they all picked against him. And here's a good one. First down, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoa is building an all-pro case. And he is becoming the linebacker that we thought he was going to be when they drafted him. Okay? I will say that. Second down. Browns find success on the ground for the first time since Nick Chubb's injury. And Kareem Hunt had a couple of good runs early. Kind of petered out after that. But thank God Jerome Ford stepped up.
Right.
Third down, Jim Schwartz advances to 9-1 against Kyle Shanahan. In other words, a Shanahan-coached offense has only beat a Schwartz-coached defense one time in 10 meetings. Okay?
Right.
Fourth down, this team will not back down from anyone. And I gotta say this. There were very few instances, and quite frankly, I can't remember any specifically where I was just mad at Kevin Stefanski about the play call. Do you guys remember any instance of being like, what the fuck did he call that for on offense?
Going fourth and six basically was the only one.
He made it. He fucking made it.
Yeah, he made it. But
I'm never going to be mad at a coach for going for it on fourth down if they make it.
I'm sorry. Well, not going to do it.
That's the only one I took issue with there.
I didn't take issue with it. We made the first down, kept the drive alive. I don't take issue with that. I cannot take issue with that. Even if I was inclined to take issue with that, I won't take issue with any play until I see the result of it. And the result was a first down. One of PJ Walker's best throws of the day.
I actually agree with what you're saying, because you can take it back to last year where the Bills got criticized about taking fourth downs when the year just before they got to the playoffs and were such a good team because they took fourth downs.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then there's the other side of that coin. What's the Chargers coach's name?
He's just not a fourth down guy that doesn't get it done.
Yeah, he just never just happens to manage it. And I don't know what analytics said to do on that fourth and sixth situation. I'm pretty sure analytics didn't say go for it .
But I'm not too sure about that, because the analytics say against a defensive team and all they need to do is hold it. And they're generally a good offensive team that you're going to get that ball back there.
Well, remember, we were playing from behind. We had to score. We hadn't gone up by 2 points. That was the drive that we did go up 2 points on.
Without that fourth down
conversion, we don't take the lead.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So, I mean, do analytics say you even get that ball back? Because, I mean, they could technically have put on a drive running the ball. And
remember, we burnt. We burnt a timeout. We only had 2 timeouts. And by the way, we'd have had less timeouts because remember, it was that previous drive. We took the timeout, but then inexplicably Kyle Shanahan passing the ball out of bounds. You know, he basically stopping the clock for us.
Yep.
You know, so I think Jim Schwartz is in Kyle Shanahan's head. He can't beat him, and it's a mental thing.
Yeah.
But I love the way, you know, I don't know if you guys picked up on this, but in the first series, you saw zone coverage. It was actually press zone.
Right.
And the 49ers went down the field, and they split the zone. They scored. They played man coverage the rest of the day. And the 49ers could not deal with it.
Well, we have it. Our secondary somehow evolved into a secondary in which you can do that just from last season to this
year. I know. I get
virtually the same personnel.
I got people from outside basically saying, they got the best secondary in the league. You know, you got Ward. These are the same names we had last year, and they fucking sucked raw. Okay.
One thing from preseason, there's one thing we did see in preseason that has held true. Emerson is actually very good.
Yes. Yes. He is a perfect compliment.
Yeah, he is. Now, Ward, I want to know Ward, if Newsom, you guys and
Emerson.
Up.
Ward, Newsom, and Emerson. There's your corner. Oh.
Yeah, I want to know if you guys picked up on this like I did. What happened in the fourth quarter that Kevin Stefanski did that won the game, because it did what it was supposed to and it picked up a first down? What did he do that he usually does not?
He ran the ball.
He ran 2 times in a row. He ran again.
Yeah,
no, when he should have.
Yeah.
Had that been a passing play, we may not have got that first down. He ran the ball again after a successful run for first down, and then ran it again.
And then when we got down there in the red zone, you know, on second down, he tries to pass, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh my God. And not only did he try to pass, guys, but remember, it was a damn near a pick. Okay. And they ran the ball the next down and just said, take the field goal.
Hey, Jeff, there was tears in my eyes after that happened.
Well, look, I was sitting here because we ran the ball and Hunt picked up a gain, right?
Yeah.
And then after that, he passed it. Okay. And we were unsuccessful. Right. And I was like, what is he doing? Then he ran the, we ran the ball. Okay. And I was like, okay, okay. If you don't run the ball here, I'm going to freak out. And then he ran the ball and we picked up the big chunk to get into the red zone. I was like, that is what I'm talking about.
I hope he learned and like, dude, I hope that wasn't a one-time thing.
Well, it's less a learned thing. It's less momentum, right? If you've got the defense on their heels and you've beat them down to where you can pick up chunks of yards on the ground like that, why
exactly
do that?
Yeah, man.
Now, and then what I find interesting, did anybody, either of you guys watch the post-game locker room speech?
No, I did not.
I did briefly. I didn't catch it all. No.
At the end of it, Stefanski says to the team, okay, and that counts for one, guys. And they all count for one, and we're going to start stacking them.
Yeah, that's what, yeah, I did see that, yeah.
So that's what they need to do. One at a time, stack these wins.
We stacking, maybe. We stacking. Yes, sir.
So check out the stats on your Browns. Let's look at it. Jerome Ford, 17 carries for 84 yards, 4.9 a carry, a long of 22.
Okay.
Kareem Hunt, 12 for 47, 3.9 a carry, long of 16.
Not bad.
Marquise Goodwin, 1 for 20. That was that end around. It was a thing of beauty.
Yeah, 20 yard average.
Yeah, 20 yard average. He averages 20 yards a carry, man. And Elijah Moore had 1 for 8 yards.
Yeah.
PJ Walker's getting 0.3 yards a carry. He had three carries for 1 yard. Anyway, the numbers on PJ Walker, he was 34 for 18 for 192 yards, a long of 58, two picks. And you know what that gets you? A 45.2 quarterback rating.
Yeah, but, man, you can have picks, but okay. I'll tell you what,
boy. Well, let me tell you something. Brock Purdy, a guy who they were, they're talking MVP about this guy, okay? He was 12 for 27 for 125 yards, a TD and a pick with a quarterback rating of 55.3. If you can do that to MVP contenders, I love it, okay?
I mean, that's got to be, in his mind, I would say, his most challenging game thus far.
Oh, and statistically, it's his worst game as a pro. Okay.
Wow.
Keep in mind, the man, this is the first game that Brock Purdy ever lost starting as a pro.
Get out of here. I did not know that.
Now, what's amazing about that, this is Mr. Irrelevant. Okay. Before Brock Purdy, no Mr. Irrelevant has ever even thrown a touchdown pass in the league at all, ever.
So this dude is like living the life.
Well, you guys didn't watch that video I sent you where at the end the guy is positing that Brock Purdy is a robot, right?
I didn't. I have to watch it again.
You got
to
watch it. You got to watch it. At the very end, he goes all the way to it. It's the AI. It's the rise of the machines, man. And it's just all part of the plan. They're making him look like he's human.
Right.
Okay. Right. That's why that happened. That's not, okay. Anyway, Amari Cooper was targeted 8 times, caught 4 of them for 108 yards, an average of 27 a catch, long of 58. Elijah Moore targeted 7 times, caught 4, 19 yards, average 4.8 a catch, long of 9. Njoku caught 3, was targeted 4 times for 24 yards, an average of 8, long of 10. Kareem Hunt, he also caught 3, but he was targeted 3 times. He caught all 3 of his passes for 24 yards, an average of 8, a long of 11. Jerome Ford caught 2, targeted twice, caught 2. For 7 yards, 3.5 a catch. I like him better on the, but David Bell, how about that? 1 catch for 6 yards. He was targeted 3 times, but he caught one of them for 6 yards and then a very important 6 yards, I might add. And Marquise Goodwin caught 1 for 4 yards. We basically a total of 18 receptions for 192 yards, average of 10.7 a catch, a long of 58. Donovan Peoples-Jones, nada. Harrison Bryant, nada. Okay, so.
Something serious to point out about David Bell's catch. It was Goodwin. Goodwin had caught a ball just, I can't remember if it was on the same drive or the drive before where he caught it, wasn't too aware to dive forward real quick, ended up not getting the first down, whereas David Bell caught the ball, quickly leaned in.
Exactly. Not only that, and again, I'll just say this, best pass of the day, quality of the pass, not the reception, best pass of the day for PJ Walker was that completion to David Bell. That was right on the money.
Oh, okay. My God.
Well, York has punted four times for a total of 218 yards, average of 54.5, a net of 46.3 with a long of 69 yards. Now, Wisnowski on the other side of the ball for the 49ers punted six times, 314. By the way, here's a defensive stat for you. In the third quarter, the 49ers had a total of six plays for 9 yards.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's it. 2 3-and-outs, 9 yards. Passing.
By the way, a lot has to be said for the fact that Christian McCaffrey started the game off pretty hot. He was running fairly well, and we pretty much shut him out the rest of the game after that touchdown.
Well, we actually shut him out the rest of the game that he played because we ended up putting him out of the game. I don't know, but he left with an oblique or a rib, an oblique slash rib. I hadn't seen the results. Supposedly he was getting MRI yesterday.
Gotcha.
Let's see if I can find the results of his MRI.
He ended on 3.9 a carry.
MRI results. Let's see what it says here. Well, they're still saying they're awaiting. He reportedly might be able to play next week against the Vikings. By the way, that's the Monday night game.
Yeah, it just says oblique injury. That's it.
Yeah. They're still awaiting the results of the MRI. Debo's got a knee.
Yeah. Yeah. So Debo, Trent, and McCaffrey have injuries after them.
Trent Williams, clearly a Hall of Fame left tackle, had words to say about Myles Garrett. What did he say? They got a Hall of Fame defensive end over there, and he gave me hell all game.
Yeah, Miles didn't get a sack, but if you noticed, he didn't get a sack, but there was two times at least he was right back in the backfield, and then someone else got the sack.
Right. I mean, this is the kind of days that you're going to have if you're Myles Garrett. They're going to put their best guy on you. In this case, it's, you know, Trent Williams. Listen, say what you want, but I remember when Trent Williams was drafted and we whiffed on him. We could have drafted him. We needed a lineman at the time too, because Joe was getting old and it was rumored he was going to retire. And we did not. And it's amazing how guys go from being drafted to surly vets, you know, in this league.
Myles Garrett, more than a couple times, threw him out of the way and actually threw him down.
Okay. I mean, yeah.
That was surprising to me. I mean,
that's true, but you got to give Trent his due because, no, yeah, but you got to give Trent his due because what Trent did is he made Miles have to go all the way around the pocket. Now, what that creates is that's open field, okay? And that's why our line pushed them. They weren't letting Miles, they made somebody else have to do the dirty work. They weren't going to let Miles do it. But Miles did his job. He took up that side of the field because Trent wasn't going to be able to help anybody, nothing. Yeah. He had to dedicate himself to him. But he did his job. He made Miles run the whole route of that pocket to get to the court.
I am, for one, very happy that they won in the alternate uniforms, because had they lost that game, I'd been like, you guys don't even need to play the third game in them this year. Okay. You know, it's like, stop.
Who do we play? Who do we play with those?
I have no idea what the third game is. I can't remember, but they're playing in three games, and they've already played two, which was the Monday night game against the Steelers and against the 49ers. So they'll play in that uniform one more time this year.
All right. Hey, in other news, and this just struck me, and it's nothing to do with the Browns, but wide receiver Tyreek Hill is 186 yards shy of 1,000 for the season, and it's only week six.
And he is on a pace to get 2,030 yards this season.
That's insane.
Wow. The man called it at the beginning of the season. Tyreek says, I'm going to get two stacks this year.
No shit. Wow.
I would question that. Just hear me out on this. I would question that that's his pace or not, because somebody did point out he's been sitting at least two games this year because they've ran up the score. See, Kakoi could possibly have had more yards.
Well, no, okay? I understand so that, if he gets as many yards per game for the rest of the games as he's gotten, he'll be over 2,000 yards.
Right.
That's just insane, man. He's so fast.
Yeah, nobody. Okay. But come on. There was this one play, and Carolina's literally playing press man on Tyreek Hill. And you know, he got the touchdown, right? You know, right. Okay. So I expect to see some over the top Tampa 2 something if we play the Dolphins. You're going to do something. You're not going to press man coverage. You got to do something about Tyreek Hill. Okay.
Yeah.
Or you're going to get burnt.
Wait, do we play them?
No, we do not. If we do play them, it will be in the playoffs.
Yeah, well, that's a whole other level.
Yeah, but it won't change who Tyreek Hill is.
So, okay, guys, this game, it could have gone either way because of the kick, right? But we got the win, and it's like, some people just can't be happy about the win. It's like, I just want to be happy about a win.
What Browns fans aren't? I haven't run into a single Browns fan unhappy about this win.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I'm asking you. Who do you talk to that's unhappy about this win? Oh, they need their ass kicked.
This is probably the
refs and this and that and the other thing. I'm like,
whoever's unhappy about this win needs their ass kicked.
Yeah.
Well, look, let's look since the merger. I mean, since the expansion, you know what I mean?
Okay.
Has there been a more significant win? A game that you're like, man, one, they can't lose this. Yes, it's against the best team in the league, and by all means, they shouldn't win it, but they have to do it. Then they did it.
You know,
they actually did it. I don't think there's another one
in Cleveland. I confronted this question the other night, yesterday evening. I was listening to The Next Level with Emmett Golden and Gerard Cherry on 850. And that's what they said. Is this a top five win since 99? Here's my argument why it's not. Because this was not a win if that kicker does his fucking job. Okay.
Okay, but to me,
for all the defense did in this game, they allowed the 49ers to get into position to win that game. That kicker missed that fucking field goal by 2 fucking inches, guys.
I mean,
but in terms of not considering the circumstances, how important is it? It was just important.
Based on importance. Okay. And again, let's play this out. There's a couple scenarios. Browns go on and make the playoffs. This was one key hell of an important win. Browns lose to the fucking Colts next week. It doesn't goddamn matter. Okay.
This is true. Go ahead, Jeff.
I was about to say, didn't Butch J. Davis win a playoff game?
They lost.
Lost Pittsburgh. It was Pittsburgh, I think.
Yeah, they lost to Pittsburgh first round.
Okay, they lost that game.
Prior to Kevin Stefanski, that's the Browns' only playoff appearance. Okay.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's 99.
Through some mystery, fellas.
I can't think of, honestly, I mean, I get what you're saying about the field goal thing, but I can't think of another win that was more significant than that. The next biggest thing I can think of is them just winning on opening day, period.
I'll give you the more significant win. Since
the expansion.
I will give you the more significant win. Final game of the 2020 season.
2020.
Against the Pittsburgh Steelers. You win that game that you can go play the wild card game.
Okay.
And then you win that game.
So then if you're ranking them, that's one. This one is two to me.
Well, I guess you're right. But that shows you how bad it's been since 99.
Okay. I mean, the only other one you can rank higher than that by technicality would be the playoff game that Tim Couch played to get us to the playoffs then.
Right, exactly.
The last game of the season, if it was significant, the last game of the season, which it probably was.
The wild card game against Pittsburgh win, would that be three or two? You think that would be three, Jeff?
I know what? I'm lying. There's one other game I'll put up there.
What's that?
The game, was it McCoy that was playing with when we beat the Patriots?
Yeah, but we ended up 6-10 that year, right?
Yeah, Peyton Hillis was playing in that game. Yeah. That was their key game that year, and that's a game they should not have won.
Well, no, I understand that, but again, most significant because it amounted to a 6-10 season, I think. Okay.
Right.
At the end of it.
No, I get that, but sometimes you can't discount momentum. This is the thing that gives momentum. Yes, I guess that momentum didn't translate into a winning season, but still.
I'd give it another.
Listen, if you're talking top five, now that we've kind of clarified it, this has to be number four because I got three games that go above it. Okay. Because there's at least two wins that got you into the playoffs and a playoff win.
Right.
Okay. So that's three and that's four. You can toss a coin around on what's the fifth most best win.
But momentum means a lot. And the Browns could have lost momentum to the season right here. They keep momentum. They don't just keep momentum. I mean, we're in a situation where now you have to, they can't let it go to their head because the win was so big.
There's some sobering facts about this win. Okay, the 49ers were only effective on two drives in the entire game. The first one and the last one. As well as this defense played, guys, you can't give up yards like that on a last drive where the team's trying to get in field goal range, because all you got is a 2-point lead. You can't do that. Darius Smith said, I was praying to God that field goal, let it be bad. Okay. And thank God he's a skilled prayer. Okay.
More to the point on that as well, if the Browns are to win this year with this style of play and not in the in the offense doesn't significantly improve, they do have to understand the name of the game is protect the ball. Okay. So while we say that, right, the defense gave up whatever, the defense played a pretty stellar game without the turnovers. You're looking at a blowout.
Right. If we hadn't turned the ball over. Okay. Now let's be honest. Only one of those turnovers resulted in points. That's how well the defense was playing.
In terms of that game, that's a blowout. That could be a determined a blowout. They don't get points on it. It's a low scoring game.
Who's the guy that did the announcement for the field goal kick when he said right, missed, whatever? Who's the guy with the ears that you?
Oh, Andrew Siliano.
Oh, that was great to hear him say that, to hear him do that part.
I mean, we could say, let's say they don't get those points that they did get off of that turnover, and then we scored on the other turnover that we didn't give away. You could see that could easily turn that game into a blowout versus a close game.
Oh, yeah.
Just saying, it was a low enough scoring game that just that difference of those two turnovers, one happening and we score, one not happening and they don't score.
So next those week,
two differences.
Next week we travel to Indianapolis to play the Colts. Right. Anthony Richardson going to be out for the year, guys. Going to have season-ending shoulder surgery. So the rookie, who is the future of their franchise, we won't face him. We get Gardner Minshew. Jonathan Taylor. We get Jonathan Taylor. And Chris, I love Chris Berman. Minshew. That's right.
So Taylor's going to play.
Oh, yeah. Taylor's going to play. You damn Skippy's going to play.
Oh, we're going to warm his ass.
Listen, Jonathan Taylor's going to get his yards, guys. Not. Okay. Not. No, listen. Brown's got to keep playing. Listen, I'm beginning to have faith in Jim Schwartz, guys. Okay. Yeah. I like the defense he calls. Denzel Ward, post-game press. Greg Newsom post-game press together saying he demands excellence. Trust me, those missed tackles on that final series, them guys might have got Monday and Tuesday off, but in Wednesday, he's going to be working their ass over those.
No doubt.
Because it was that last series, I'm like, what the hell? You've played a stellar game all game, and you're looking like last year's defense trying to tackle this guy. Tackle him.
I could see him as our head coach moving forward, but I maybe spoke too soon. I'm sorry. Well, Kevin.
Kevin Stefanski, once again, has, right when he needed to, called a game like he's supposed to. I think somehow or another, they have to find a way to keep him humble enough to just call the game like you're supposed to instead of acting like you're some kind of a fucking football genius. Okay.
Right. You ain't Michael, what's his name with the
Mike McDaniel. Dolphins?
You ain't Mike McDaniels, man.
Well, no, but Mike McDaniels, see, that's the thing. Mike McDaniels hangs 670. Okay, but the next week he comes out against a different team. Remember the Patriots? He didn't do that. He didn't try to do that to the Patriots. He ran the ball.
Right.
He ran the ball more than he passed. Okay, this guy is coaching and doing what he can do against the team he's playing today. Very many times, Kevin Stefanski's especially his opening script seems like it's just, this is what I'd like to do, and it takes nothing into account about the team we're playing, down distance or situation.
Right.
It's like, I know they script the first 15 plays, but if something happens within those first 15 plays, you can change the script. You can't.
No doubt. And that's adjustment on the fly. And that's what I would like to see him do better. And I thought he adjusted.
I think he needs to be in private when he's adjusting his fly.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. Keep that to yourself, Kevin. Keep that to yourself. Just say.
So what do you think, Jeff? What do you think about how we're going to do against Indianapolis?
Hello?
I think Jeff had to leave, maybe.
Oh, sorry about that.
No,
what's that?
There he is.
I was wondering how they were going to do against Indianapolis this coming week.
Okay. I think we should win. And if I thought, well, no, I'm gonna be serious. When I look at a game for the Browns, I think, should we win? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Should we win this? We should win. Then I think a game that I have reserved whether we should win. I go logically, statistically, should we win this game? Take my fandom out of it, right? And like last game, we shouldn't have.
No.
Even with our defense, that was technically a defense, if not equal to ours, not enough worse that our defense should have just tipped it. But we won. Yeah. Okay. So stats aren't always what you're going to get.
We were hoping that the offense would do well enough to keep the defense off the field long enough to stay.
But statistically, in this game, we should win this.
Here's the thing, guys. If you look at the schedule, the next three games we should win.
Oh, no doubt.
We got Colts, Seahawks, Cardinals. Then it's Ravens, Steelers, guys, and that's toss up. You know that. Those are AFC North games. Yep, you want to win those.
Oh, honestly, after Cincinnati won, like they're supposed to, and they did with their all of our division games are just those are our hardest games on the schedule.
Right.
All of
them. But if you look at the next 6 games out of the next 6 games, 4 of those are the Browns should win those games because it's Colts, Seahawks, Cardinals. And then after you've got Ravens, Steelers, then you got the Broncos.
Paul, both those games, the Ravens and Steelers are in our stadium this are they not?
No, the Ravens beat us at home, Hugh.
Oh, okay. But we got Steelers at home. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
And then you do not have the Bengals. You close the season out with the Bengals. Okay. After, listen to this. After Ravens Steelers, starting on November 26th, it's Broncos, Rams, Jaguars, Bears, Texans, Jets. Now, have you guys been tracking the news on Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, he's not doing that great.
Not doing that great, my ass. He said he's on schedule to come back this season.
That is, I do not see that happening. I think that is
But not doing that great. The guy had a fucking Achilles on the fourth play of the season, and he's talking about being back this year. That's not doing great.
I don't think it's the brightest idea.
No, dude. He said he's listening to dolphins mating.
Right. He's putting his feet in the water while dolphins mate and listening to him mate. That's what he's doing.
Well, I forgot. No, you're right. He's got mushrooms and dolphins.
He's on them shrooms again, boys. He's on those shrooms again.
Probably some ayahuasca too. Yeah, man. Hey, man.
Hey, look, I can't.
If he fucking does it, guys, I'm just saying.
When Aaron Rodgers says what he does, okay, people can dispute all different ways people recover themselves and everything else, okay? I mean, look, I've sat there and told people my stories of how I've recovered, so I'm not knocking him, okay?
Look, he comes back and he plays. I remember Aaron Rodgers with the Packers, and the Packers started out, it was either 1-3 or 0-4, okay? And Aaron Rodgers walked to the mic at the press conference. He says, guys, relax. And he was fucking MVP. Okay? I'm just saying. Okay?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. When Aaron Rodgers says the weird stuff, people are like, oh, yeah, weird. Oh, yeah, really. Right. But then he comes back and he does stuff like win MVP. And I mean, I'm not knocking.
He
might be. Remember, Brett Favre used to do that kind of stuff, too.
Right.
The Cowboys turned around one last night.
Who did it? I wanted to watch the game, but it was
they played the Chargers. They played the Chargers. Brandon Staley, that's the coach for the Chargers. Brandon Staley and the Chargers.
Okay.
I mean, talk about some bad fucking luck. Because, you know, Justin Herbert, talented quarterback. Okay?
No doubt.
It's not going to work out for those guys, though. It's just not. It's not
prototypical size and everything. He's like 6'6", 235, isn't he?
Well, I don't know about 6'6". He's tall.
Yeah, he's 6'6".
I don't think so. I don't think so. I'm really positive you're wrong on that. He's like 6'4". Okay. But yeah, he's definitely a prototypically sized quarterback.
He's listed as 6'6".
Okay.
Now we know what listed means.
Well, yeah, Johnny Manziel was listed at 6 foot one time, I remember. Okay, I don't know if you guys know this, but Antonio Banderas is in his IMDb profile been listed as 6 foot. I met the dude. He's 5'7" if he's lucky. Okay. I don't trust that shit.
He's a shorty just like Tom Cruise.
Justin Herbert doesn't look like he's grasping for inches. So I tend to believe his 6'6" a whole lot better than I believe some of these heights.
Right.
Yeah. Baker Mayfield got to wear the creamsicle uniforms on Sunday and found out why they're fucking loser uniforms. Okay. Cause they did not look good in their effort in that game.
How much did Dallas win that game by
last night? I'm not sure what the final was. Hold on.
I'm sorry. I thought you might have had it up.
No. Why would I have that up? Why would I have
this? Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But I'll tell you shortly here. Hold on. I got this thing. It's called the internet. Cowboys Chargers final score was 20-17,
3-point
win.
Yeah. I think they anointed the Cowboys way too soon. It's early in the season. They are 4-2, but whatever.
Okay.
I'm not
impressed. Listen, here's the problem with the Cowboys. The fan base for the Cowboys is so fucking huge, Hugh. I don't care what city you're in. You have a friend that's a Cowboys fan.
Oh, dude, I have way too many friends.
Well, it doesn't matter where you're at. Okay. That's what I'm telling you. It doesn't matter where you're at. You've got a friend that's a Cowboys fan, maybe multiple. Okay. The only other team that even comes close is the 49ers.
Wow. Yeah.
And the Steelers. Cowboys, 49ers, Steelers, dude. They fucking travel.
Yeah. Now, interesting enough, okay, the 49ers in quite a few power rankings are still ranked number one. So that should do a lot for, while we may have disputes on where our power ranking is, the fact that we just beat who was considered the number one team and they're still considered the number one team by very many, I mean, that to me is very interesting in itself as well. Okay.
Yeah, I got a guy. I got a guy I work with. He's a 49ers fan. And he last week coming up to the game, he's like, "We're taking all comers, man. Don't worry about it. We got this, man." He said, "I'm sorry about your loss," but I said, "The game ain't been played yet, man. You know, he ain't came by to see me this week. I don't understand."
Yeah. Crickets, baby. Crickets all day long.
Mm-hmm. And then when I do see him, he's going to try to blame it on that call. But I'm going to tell you something, man. If you're a 49ers fan and you think that call cost you the game, then you ain't who you thought you was anyway.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Just wanted to tell you guys that I took the money line and bet the spread on the Browns. I bet that it was $5 a piece, so I spent $10. I ended up winning $60.
The opinions of Hugh are not the opinions of TBF, a Browns fans podcast. We do not condone gambling. Okay.
if you are spending more than you can afford to lose, right, you have a problem. Call 1-800.
That's right. 1-800. What the fuck are you doing? And all right. So here's the stats that count for the Browns: 18 first downs to only 15 by the 49ers. Okay. Third down conversion. We held them 3-for-12. 25%. Unfortunately, we were 3 for 13, 23.1%. Imagine if we had offense, how big a win this would have been. Okay.
Oh my God.
Fourth down efficiency. They were ought for ought. We had 1 for 1, 100%. And here are the real. Nose to the grindstones. You win these, you win the game. Red zone efficiency. We were 1 for 2, 50%. We allowed 67%. We lost that. I'm going to tell you, I want you to hear this because I want you to understand in the numbers that you're supposed to tend to win the games, this was a split. There was no, by no stretch of the imagination, was this a, yeah, that you could tell the Browns won this game because, again, red zone efficiency, we were not, okay? We did goal to goal efficiency, we were not. They were 1 for 1. We didn't have goal to go. We didn't have a goal to go situation. We did, however, win time of possession. And listen, if there's one stat, okay, that you can just about almost guarantee yourself you're winning unless you have turnovers, which can take your time of possessions and throw it out the window. But time of possession is the one that you got to win. And we did 33 minutes and 3 seconds to 26:57.
Yeah, that's what happened to us in the Ravens game. Exactly what you're talking about there.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It really chaps my ass that the Ravens are being viewed as a more powerful team than us. We have to do something about that. First of all, we have to win our games. We got to do, what did Kevin say? We're going to stack these wins. Let's stack these three. Stack these three before we have to go to Baltimore.
I'll say this about that, though. I mean, there's nothing we can do about that as long as we don't see the quarterback play. Okay? I mean, we do have the defense, and our defense tips scales right now, but Baltimore will be looked at as better than us if that quarterback play isn't there to tip a little bit of our scale. It doesn't have to be as good because we are better on the defense end, but we got to have playmaking. If you're looking at the Browns winning without playmaking, then you're looking at Baltimore, which has a good defense. No, it's not as good as ours. They need to be if they can score points.
Right. Here's the interesting thing. PJ Walker. Let's say Deshaun can't go again this week. PJ Walker plays. Let's say he has a pick-free game. And, you know, a pick-free game, and you start looking at PJ Walker, and he starts passing the eye test at some point. And no coach in his right mind is going to say, well, this is my starter now. Forget my $230 million. But I'm just saying, if Deshaun Watson continues to deliver in a pedestrian fashion, or not deliver at all by not being able to go, it's easy to see how we've got to keep a guy on this roster that can play at a level. And with this defense, that level's not as high as it would have otherwise had to been. So this is even for Deshaun when he comes back. Deshaun doesn't have to be Superman.
No. Right. That's perfect point to make about it. If Deshaun finishes the rest of the year a 90 quarterback rating quarterback at this point, we could end up in the Super Bowl.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's for real. I mean, that's just honest. Now, Deshaun comes back and he keeps improving like what we saw before. He ends up 100 quarterback rating team. God, this is going to be hell for some teams because that will absolutely put points on the board, and that's going to be dangerous.
And it would be amazing if Deshaun does that, right? Then the weakness on your offense is going to be your running game.
Right.
Which we're not used to.
No, we're not. Not at all. At all.
So we
there is a possibility keep in mind, guys, there is a possibility and there have been some rumors. And of course, it's going to be dependent on a lot of things, but trade deadline comes up at the end of October. Okay.
Right.
Which is coming up a couple weeks. And he is not being used as the starter in Jacksonville. And there has been some rumors that the Browns may look at trading for D'Ernest Johnson.
I would not be mad at that at all.
Well, I would, since you could have kept him in the first fucking place.
Well, yeah, you kept Ford instead of him.
And I don't want to jinx Ford, so I really like his fourth quarter performance in this game. And I'm, you know, but I have been up until the fourth quarter of this past game fairly unimpressed with Jerome Ford as the lead back on this offense.
Is it just me, or does he seem much slighter in build than Kareem and Chubb and Dearness Johnson?
Well, nah. I mean, here's my
he's a little spindly in the legs for me for a running back.
He does. But remember, they were just playing, and somebody on the commentary made a good point. McCaffrey doesn't, and he gets the job done. I don't think that he's no slighter in build than McCaffrey. Okay. To me, it's been more, and it's like what I said earlier. I think we two podcasts ago or whatever, we were kind of evaluating Chubb a little bit. And I mentioned, if you watch the way Chubb runs, okay, and it's just the fundamentals and basics of him doing the right thing, making the right move. I've seen too many times where Ford is gotten dropped by an extended arm off of his offensive lineman, and then that arm wraps him and brings him down.
Yeah.
If that's Chubb, that guy's not bringing him down.
No.
Okay. He ain't going down from that. Okay.
And I don't know what you guys,
the differences.
I don't know what you guys have seen, but to me, and I don't want to be critical of him, because I know that, you know, again, he didn't really have training camp and all that. And even Greg Olsen talked a lot about they're still getting his legs under him. I'm Kareem Hunt looks like he's lost a step to me.
Well, I don't know. Cause he had one run where he did I haven't seen him doing. So what you see from Chubb is like what I just said, he's got controlled movement when he needs to. Right. But what Chubb does really good is everybody thinks he's this guy who's going to bruise you, right? And as soon as you think that, he shoots through a hole with speed. So you get everything from Chubb, right? What you usually get from Hunt is he'll shoot through a hole, which he did do on that one run, okay?
Yeah.
I don't know if you noticed it or not, but Chubb had a little bit of a limp. I think he hurt himself on the first one, two, or three runs. And after that, I noticed, he had a very slight limp. It was enough that he was walking slow and gingerly. And I said, dude, he almost got a limp there. I think that's where he really slowed down.
Well, I just think as the season progresses and the opportunities are going to come, because either Kareem will be gimpy or Ford will be gimpy, I think Pierre Strong emerges as the best back that's remaining on this team.
I would love to see.
I mean, that's a possibility. We haven't got to see him, and he looked good during preseason.
And a couple times he's handled the ball in the second half of this season, he's looked good. But you haven't seen him any more than a couple handoffs in the second half. And of course, he plays special teams. He makes key tackles on special teams all the time.
Right. Now, the plus to Ford is what you can't take from Ford right now is no. I still don't think Ford has played a complete game where you could say, dang, man, he's.
Yeah, but those three runs in the fourth quarter were the shit.
He had three runs. Okay, he had three runs in the first quarter. One in particular was a very savvy looking run. It's like he ran and he looked like he knew exactly what he was doing. It's like,
okay, hit the spin move exactly right. It was, it was perfect.
Okay. The other thing is, remember, he had a game before where he pulled off a large run.
Okay? Right. 65-yard run.
Timely. Okay. So what I'm saying is he's had instances where he's not consistent, but his large runs are very timely.
Yeah.
That's something to remember, too. I mean, there's something to be said about, okay, you're not getting them, but the chunk of yards when you do get them are significant chunks of yards.
As long as, again, Jerome Ford for this past game, and again, you owe it to having a long run of 22 yards to get this, but you want a back that's getting 4 yards or more a carry. Okay.
I get you. But
this is the first game. This is the first game that he has plus 4 yards per carry this past game.
Okay. True. Okay. I give you this. And I'm aware of the fact that he's been historically so far for us been a chunk runner, not a consistent runner. Okay. And even in this game, he technically was a chunk runner. Okay.
Yeah. Well, that's what he was designed to be for this team. I mean, let's be honest and true. Nick Chubb's not out. That's what he is for this team.
Right. But he's also a consistent runner. He's both. Okay.
Chubb is. It said if Chubb is in the lineup, that's what Ford is in there for. He's coming in the second half to get you a chunk, you know.
Right.
So the intention of Jerome Ford on this team is not what we're having to use him as.
Right. Now, what I want to point out about his chunks so far, while he hasn't been consistent, okay, it's one thing to have a chunk runner and his chunks come at times that are not useless. It doesn't get you a score or anything. So far, his chunk runs have produced points.
And he's also been pretty good in the passing game, too.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, while he hasn't been a consistent, I'm getting you 4 yards, 4 yards, 4 yards, when he does give you the chunks, they turn to points. Okay. So, yeah. I mean, it is not too much to argue about with him so far.
Wasn't that play pretty when he got that touchdown? I just thought that was so well orchestrated when he just ran to the left and the way the whole line blocked and everything.
That's Kareem Hunt that got that touchdown.
Yeah.
That was Hunt.
Okay. That was Hunt. Yeah. We were talking about Jerome Ford.
Oh, my bad. Yeah. My bad. My bad.
Yeah, all that to me was all that about chunks was Ford.
So why Jeff, help us out with this because you seem more pro Ford than I am, Paul. Why am I not down with Ford? What is? I mean, I don't know
of what I just said. Because okay, Ford. You know who Ford reminds me of, except he does not have the blinding speed of. If you ever watched, if you ever got a chance to watch Fred Taylor. Very much. Okay. Fred Taylor was a back. He'd get you two, he gets you three, he gets you four, might bust off. Then he bust off a 12-yard run. Okay. Then he bust off 50. He bust off 20 and then he gets you two. Whereas we're used to with Chubb, you're getting a little more of like a Jerome Bettis feel, right? Where every time Chubb touches the ball, the dude's getting 4 or 5 yards. Okay.
Right.
He's getting 4 or 5 yards. Chubb can go a whole game 4 or 5 yards, not have anything but like a 120-yard run, right?
Hey, guys.
Whereas Ford, you're expecting to have.
We've come a long way. Remember when it was Ruben Drones at 2.9 a carry?
Oh, my God.
Well,
that shit was horrible.
Yeah, so we've come a long way. Hey, he got 1,000 yards that year, dude. 2.9 a carry. 2.9
a carry. They ran him a lot, didn't they?
Yeah, because they didn't have anything else.
But the point I was trying to make in the Fred Taylor comparison, Fred Taylor's chunks tend to turn into touchdowns. That's why he was such a good back, regardless of the fact of you're talking about consistency or not.
Well, the problem with Fred's
chunks are turning into points.
Yeah.
You're good.
The problem with Fred was, you know, he just couldn't stay on the field.
Right. Same as like Darren McFadden. Yeah. Darren McFadden wasn't much different. He was a big play back, couldn't stay on the field. So.
I just want to say this. Christian McCaffrey has turned out to be the same guy. I mean, when he's in the game, he's making difference. Yeah. Okay. When he's in the game, he's making difference. But the problem is, can he stay? And listen, here's the thing. Ravens are doing great, guys. But you know what? With 6 games left in the last 2 seasons, 6 games left on the schedule, Lamar Jackson goes out and he's not available. Okay. So let's see what he does this year. Okay. Cause you know, when we got him on the schedule, hey, let me look at this and make sure I'm right about this. But if there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, guess what? There'll be 8 games left. So when we're playing the Broncos, okay, there'll be 6 games left on the schedule. All right.
Okay.
Okay. Is that the week that Lamar Jackson's going to go down? Because the last 2 seasons, it's been exactly the same for them.
Well, I was thinking we should probably end the podcast. We know everything the Browns did, and we're seriously thinking, okay, Browns, that's a statement win. Playoffs
show me
is a
again.
Thing.
Show
if
me
you're
again.
Looking around, if you're looking around the league right now, okay, and we definitely have to look at our division very hard, okay? What's your biggest surprise and biggest challenges you think we get to the playoffs? Who is it? I was actually going to point out, as much as we talked about him already today, that Baltimore might be the one. Lamar Jackson, no, he is not playing the most stellar year ever. He's remained at a 90 quarterback rating. He is completing 69.9% of his passes, though, and he's kind of proving people wrong that said, oh, you're going to pay him this money, then he's going to drop off. I mean, 90-something quarterback rating is winning him games. Okay.
Well, no, I
he's
think they got it.
Too many picks.
I think they got him on a utilization scheme that they're trying to have him longer than, you know, six games left in the season. They don't want to lose him late season. They're not running him as much. Okay, he's accounting for as great a percentage of their rushing total, and he is completing passes at a higher clip.
He's also supposedly in better shape and down 10 or 20 pounds, so that helps. So
I don't know. When you're running and you're taking the kind of hits that Lamar Jackson takes, down pounds doesn't necessarily help.
Well, his running this year so far, he had 62 in the first game, 45, then 27, 101, 54, then 38.
Average. He has 8 carries, though, but only for 11 yards. 1.4 yards per carry.
Ooh. Really? Is that all? Anyway, but no, I honest to goodness, I just to think if I was a Ravens fan, and I'm not, but if I was a Ravens fan, I'd be concerned. Can Lamar make it through the season? Because he hasn't done that for the last 2 years consistently. Okay.
Yeah.
I can agree with that, but I was just going off of like what you think is going to be the biggest hurdle into the playoffs. And I was picking the Ravens because to me, you have a guy who there's too many people that predicted he was going to get paid money and then he's going to start to see his fall off. I don't see the fall off. He's completing 69.9% of his passes. At this point, that's higher than his career average. Okay. Mm-hmm. He's sitting at 7.2 mm-hmm. yards average, which is sitting at his career average. Okay. And the only thing you can question him about this year is he's already thrown 3 interceptions to 5 touchdowns. His touchdown to the interception differential isn't that high right now, but they're winning games. He's doing what he's supposed to, and he's completing a high number of passes.
Okay, guys. So real quick, predictions for the game against the Colts. Remember, now you're going to Indianapolis. You're playing in their stadium. Gardner Minshew, reliable journeyman quarterback, okay? So what's the score?
I think the offense picks up regardless of who's quarterback. And it's still going to be rather low scoring. I'll call it 21-14.
Okay. Jeff, what you got?
I am going to say the opposite. If PJ plays, I expect it to be a low scoring game, us to win something around maybe 17-10, something in that matter. If Watson plays, I'm expecting a statement from Watson, just like the defense has made a statement. The team has made had a statement win. Watson comes, has another statement game upcoming, his next game after one of his best games. Okay. He comes. Okay. And he solidifies the offense in himself, similar to what I'm talking about, Lamar Jackson. He does what he has to win the game and becomes the centerpiece of the offense, what we need, okay, in this division for him to be. And I expect them to win somewhere around 28-10.
Okay, I got us playing well offensively, regardless of who plays quarterback. Because first of all, I think PJ Walker showed us one thing. He can come in and actually play. Okay. And outside of one bad read that I can certainly point out to you, one bad read, and then another one where he was just trying to do too much and he got lucky. Okay. The other interception was, I mean, listen, anybody's going to throw a pick every once in a while. Okay.
Right.
And by the way, That's the first pick. I think, was that the first pick this season that Brock Purdy threw?
I'm not sure.
I'm pretty sure it was his pick this year.
But he had a he definitely had a horrible day. He's probably like, what the fuck is going on today?
And what was going on was the Browns defense. Yes, that was his first pick. Yeah. What was going on was the Browns defense, dude. That's what it was. But I got a high scoring game for the Browns anyway. I got 27-13.
Okay. All right.
High scoring for the Browns, because right now I don't see the Browns scoring 34, 35 points a game yet. They're not at that level yet offensively. But with this defense and the way they can hold people, and I'm being really generous giving the Colts 13 points, and that's kind of home field. It's going to be an indoor game. It's going to be a fast track. Okay. So
okay,
I got the Browns doing better on the running game. I got, even if it's PJ Walker starting, I got PJ better. I got him a little more within himself and understanding that I don't have to make it all happen. It's not all on me. And again, Deshaun, highly motivated to get in. Every week that goes by that PJ Walker plays and looks like, see, I can get this done, that's going to motivate Deshaun to get back.
The spread's only 2.5, believe it or not, right now.
But the Browns are favored. It's not their stadium. Right. They get 3 points for the home field. Add 3 right. to 2.5. That's a 5.5 favorite. The Browns have no fucking offense. Okay.
Over under is 39.5.
Right. But what I'm trying to tell you is the Browns have, for the betting man, statistically, the Browns have no fucking offense to speak of. They got the number one defense, but you can't hang your hat on the Browns offense, and the quarterback is uncertain. To favor them by any more than 2.5 points would just be crazy talk.
Right. Right. You can't really make any money on betting the over under or the money line on this one.
I don't know, because I don't bet. I'll bet you a Coke.
Yeah.
I'm not as confident in the PJ Walker thing yet. So I do think they'll win either way. I just don't think it will be offensively.
I remember watching PJ Walker in the XFL. Okay. And PJ Walker is the truth. Okay.
I'm not saying he isn't. I didn't say that. I said what I've seen. I am not. I saw him throw a couple of good passes.
Yeah.
And my thing is, I saw him throw a couple of good passes, and even the games that we've questioned Watson, I've seen him throw more good passes than that.
Right. I like him better than Dorian Thompson Robinson.
Yes. I like him a lot better than that. Yeah, so I have no argument with that. What I said is, I think we'll win either way. If Watson plays, I do expect an offensive burst.
Well, here's hoping the Browns for good news tomorrow that says Deshaun is on track to play. Okay.
Yeah.
In the meantime, let's get the heck on out.
We'll know by Wednesday.
Wednesday is their first day back. I would assume they'll say something about whether or not Deshaun Watson's going to play.
Okay.
Okay. All right. I mean, I don't know exactly when we'll know, but I know that they're back tomorrow. Okay. Because he gave them Monday off, and they normally are off on Tuesday. So Wednesday's got to be it. So, having said that, you've been listening to TBF, a Browns fans podcast. When we get together again, it's going to be to talk about our team's win over the Indianapolis Colts, executed in Indianapolis. In the meantime, the in-between time, until it's that time. What time's that? Time for us to talk about yet another win for the Cleveland Browns and the number one defense in the league. This is Paul, Hugh, and Jeff saying we're out.
been a Basement Tapes production.